The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Okay, delighted to welcome Anna Capeless to the show. She's an Ireland international and Harlequins rugby player. You were on with us last week, or last month, I should say, as well. Anna, you're very welcome back to the show. How are you getting on?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Still loads of roller coasters even since I spoke to you last. So I'm sure we'll get into them. But yeah, thanks for having me and good to be back.
One of the main roller coasters, I'd imagine, has been with regards to the Six Nations this year and whether or not it would be played, when it was going to be played, and I guess it's ended up being 3 weeks from now. So how has the last few weeks been from that standpoint, going from not knowing to then preparing for a Six Nations that is on your doorstep in April?
That was very welcome. And I think that with all the uncertainty around COVID at the time of, you know, preparing in January with the numbers rising and everything else, it was almost comforting to have it. Okay, let's just push it off and do it then, you know, and be given a date so that, you know, we could be more certain around, you know, the cases coming down and lockdown having an effect to maybe, you know, make travel safer again and things like that. So what kind of happened in the meantime then? So we were coming from a place of preparing for Six Nations in February and then World Cup qualifiers after that, to then having that swapped around to preparing first for World Cup qualifiers and then for Six Nations. Since that, and we were preparing for that as well, the World Cup was postponed, therefore the World Cup qualifiers were postponed as well. So a lot of shuffling around, a lot of coming very close to game time. Like we should have been in Spain last weekend, you know, playing Spain in a World Cup qualifier, and it was, you know, it wasn't long before that selection was going to be made that that was, you know, that call was made from the World Cup. And it was very, very disappointing that week to get that announcement. And I think a lot of people were saying, you know, God, how could you have expected, you know, a World Cup to go ahead in a year like this? But if you can't kind of half, you can't half prepare, you can't kind of half think that something is going to go ahead. So if someone's given us a date, we'd be like, yeah, you know, we're preparing for that, and that's you know, all guns blaze for that fixture. So you know, we're preparing for the Six Nations now with that same hat on. And you know, despite the disappointment of, you know, having the World Cup postponed, we've still got a massive job to do. And you know, we're looking forward to playing the Six Nations finally, and it'll be nice to play like Six Nations with some nicer weather, you know. Hopefully no like snowstorms in Scotland or wherever we go to play, you know. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, the interesting thing as well is how you try and deal with this with a team that isn't on, say, England's level of professionalism, and just pulling them out of there because they're obviously the ones that have got the head start in the Six Nations when it comes to a fully professional team. Does that make it harder on your perspective, knowing that you've got the added complications of some of your players having to go to work and trying to get time off and not knowing essentially when you're playing games?
Yeah, that's challenging anyway, outside of COVID. So throwing COVID in the mix where, you know, players may have to quarantine, meaning that you may have to request from your employer more time off, or could I work remotely those days or that week? Yeah, that makes it certainly challenging. So an extra element of, you know, not being professional in this day and age, you know, it throws another spanner in the works. So, you know, we're striving to improve and put in those performances that you know, will eventually get us to that professional level. And you know, to have this extra challenge for sport, and just, you know, for everyone, you know, sport aside, for everyone in life, you know, to have COVID, you know, take away so many things and challenge you on so many different levels, it has been, you know, difficult for women's rugby, because you know the financial hit that there are a few have taken, and any rugby union has taken, you know, we obviously rely on the union to support us, and we've had like phenomenal support from our management and backroom staff to make sure that our camps can go ahead. So we are incredibly lucky on many levels. Like you know, when it was announced that the World Cup would be postponed, you know, we were all very shocked and disappointed. And but we still haven't, we're still not taking for granted how lucky we are. You know, you look around and there's, you know, the GAA pitches and clubs are empty, and any club rugby, you know, is not going ahead. We haven't taken for granted how lucky we are that, you know, the RFU is supporting us, and we're able to get to camps and get to training and prepare for games, whether those games went ahead or not. In the end, we were still aiming to prepare for games that other athletes haven't been able to do.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a bit of a vicious cycle, what you mentioned there, the professionalism, that to become professionalism, you might feel that better performances are needed, but by not being professional, those chances of actually putting in those better performances are hindered.
100%. So, yeah, so where does that leave you? So, you know, if you can't, you know, and professionalism hasn't, you know, come for us yet, so how do you strive towards those performances? You know, we have to, you know, conversations like this, like you and I are having now, growing the game, growing the awareness of the game will grow the participation, will grow the bums in seats. That's what'll get us there to a level. Like, there's a million different ways of doing it, you know, to get us to that professional level, but that's something that this bit is easy. You know, you and I talking now, like, this is easy for us to grow the game. Like, I'll use my profile, like my social media, which is, you know, this like instant marketing that every single player has. And, you know, we all use it in a very responsible way, but it is a way of, you know, reaching out to like younger girls that want to get into the game, that see us playing and see my teammates and where they're from and what they do. And that's this free platform that we can use to get, you know, girls playing, get people along to the games, you know, when that happens. So, you know, there's still positives, you know, to take and to grow on.
Is WXV a positive? Announced obviously this week, the new global format that I guess places added importance on finishing higher up in the Six Nations.
Yeah, definitely. Is that what it's called? I didn't even know.
Well, World 15 is what I assumed it was, but in a quick info video, the voiceover referred to it as WXV. I think possibly, I don't take my word for it, but that's certainly what it was referred to in the video.
I haven't seen the video yet, and I just had a quick flick through my Instagram there and could see, yeah, people sharing it and talking about it, but I hadn't heard it called that now. So that's interesting. That's cool. Hopefully that's a tournament that will become like a household name, just like Six Nations or anything like that. So, yeah, really great announcement to read this morning. Really nice surprise, like, you know, especially off the back of the kind of spiral of disappointing announcements this year. Yeah, really, really exciting. And like you say, placing massive importance on the Six Nations and the results. You know, it's not just for pride now or for, you know, just a world ranking, but just, you know, outside of a, you know, World Cup year, it doesn't really have much of an effect on what you do. You know, it places massive importance on every result in the Six Nations, and, you know, the try count and the bonus points and things like that. So we'll have to look at how we'll achieve those, and not just going for a win, but going for tries and going for even if you had to losing bonus point, you know, like so many teams do in the Six Nations. That makes it very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And when you talk about everything that you said a couple of moments ago about trying to grow the chances of Ireland's getting professional or increasing standards, a global game, a more global game, is not going to harm that in any way.
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of teams, a lot of women's teams around the world are kind of in the shadow of the male counterparts, you know, because the male counterparts might have, you know, achieved, you know, their status first, you know, and the women's team kind of has come afterwards. If you look at Canada as an example, you know, their women's team led the way, and they're a better, more successful side than their men's counterparts. So it's only right that someone like Canada gets to perform on a world stage year in, year out. All of us, I'm just, you know, I'm using Canada as an example there of, sure, of someone that's kind of different. You know, we all deserve to have that platform, that world platform, year on year, and not just the Six Nations. So that's, you know, that'll be huge for Southern Hemisphere teams that don't have a tournament like the Six Nations, and just, you know, they organize their own friendlies or a little test series, but that's not a consistent thing. You know, every year it's like, okay, who are we going to play next year? And now with the, you know, commitment from South Africa to throw their hat in the ring in a very serious manner, you know, and build with the appointment of Lynn Cantwell as their, like, you know, director of women's rugby down there. I hope I've used the right title for her role there, but that's essentially what it is. Like, that's massive for her and massive for Southern Hemisphere rugby. You're right, it can only mean positive things.
One last thing before we let you go, and I just on this weekend, Ireland against England, massive news this week that CJ Stander is going to retire. I was going to ask you actually about how Peter O'Mahony's return would affect the Irish back row, but I wonder, does the coaching team already start to look a little bit further down the track when it comes to their selection even this weekend?
Even for this weekend, maybe. We're all struggling to see into the mind of Andy Farrell at the moment, you know, but I think that, you know, as an Irish, the Irish men's team, how I felt as an Irish men's team supporter in the last few years is that we aim for big performances and big results in the years between the World Cups. And then when it comes to a World Cup, it doesn't, you know, it's the other teams who appear to have just been coasting along in the years in between that perform at the World Cup. And I would love to see the guys do well in a World Cup, and they deserve that. So would there's a lot of talk around like Johnny Sexton and, you know, the older players, like wondering if they'll make it to a World Cup. Should you start to open the doors behind them and see what's coming through? But, you know, you still want to do well in the Six Nations, and especially against England. And, you know, if CJ Stander is, you know, going to retire in the summer, do you give him those opportunities to play, or do you start, you know, messing around and bringing in new guys? And not like Ireland has any shortage of like unbelievable back rows to like fill his spot. It'll be an interesting one, and I don't think one is a right decision over the other at the moment, you know, with still a bit of time to build towards the World Cup. Like, I'd love to see CJ, you know, finish out his career in the way that he would like, which is, you know, just big carries, big hits, big turnover moments. Like, I think he deserves that, and I think that the team around him can learn from that and build off that, and whoever is going to come in to fill his boots will want to, like we always say, leave the jersey in a better place and then pick it up and bring it on even further. So it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out for CJ over the next few months and what Andy Farrell will decide to do.
Yeah, it will. It's a fascinating question. Anna, it's been great chatting to you once again. Best of luck with the next few weeks, and hopefully it's a successful Six Nations campaign.
Thanks a million. I'll chat to you again soon. OTB
AM. The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.